We are so excited to be with you here this morning. Thank you for choosing to be with us as we worship together. Those of you that are here in person with us, we are thrilled to have you as we start our in-person gatherings once again. It's exciting, and I'm glad that we get to spend this time together. Today, first let me introduce myself. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here. Our lead pastor, Rick, and his wife, Zoe, are away. They're getting away for the next few weeks. So can you continue to pray for them that they would have some time of rest, relaxation, and renewal? Today we begin a new series that's going to carry us through the summer. It's this theme of getting away. See, Rick isn't the only one that needs to get away once in a while. We all need that. And I would encourage you, if that's not a regular practice that you have, if that's not something that you consistently do, that you have this routine and this rhythm of getting away, I would encourage you to build that rhythm in, to be able to find that time where you can just maybe escape work, some of the stresses that you have, and that you would build that into your routine. But we're going through this series this summer because this is what we do in the summertime a lot. We get away. We take that time and maybe to put our focus off of work a little bit and maybe our focus back onto our family or, again, to find that rest and relaxation and renewal that each one of us need. But as we are getting away, the first thing that we have to do is we need to get ready. So any trip that you take, you get ready for it. And you might not realize that you get ready for it, but you do. And you might even ask a few questions. There's four questions that I think that each and every one of us ask, whether we realize it or not. Here's the first one. Where are you going? You have to figure out where you're going. Are you going up north? Maybe you like to get away in the wintertime because you love to ski or snowboard. You love to see the beauty of a snow-covered mountain. Some of you, you like to go south. You like to lay in the sand all day underneath the sun. You like to be on the beach as much as you can and swim at every single opportunity that you can. But maybe it's somewhere completely different for you. But you need to figure out, where are you going? Next question that we ask ourselves is, how are you getting there? Are you taking the family minivan? Packing in? Maybe you don't have a minivan and it's even tighter and you're squeezing in and you're driving wherever you go. Are you stopping on the way to where you're getting? Or are you going to push through and drive 20 straight hours to wherever you are, wherever your destination is? Some of you, you like to fly. Maybe you don't like to fly, but maybe you just don't like being in the car for 20 hours. And so you choose to fly. Maybe you take a train. But you have to ask yourself the question, how are you getting there? Where are you staying? Now, this one, I just don't understand. I'm going to be completely honest. Some of you, you say, hey, we're going to go to this place. We know how we're going to get there. And then when we get there, we're going to sleep in a tent. We're going to stay outside. And I get, don't get me wrong, I get the beauty of the stars at night and the beauty of the nature. I understand that. But you are choosing. You're saying, where are we going to stay? I am going to stay on the ground. Outside with the bugs all around and the bears and the lions and the snakes trying to unzip my tent and get right in there. And you choose that this is where I'm going to stay. Some of you are more like me. And you say, I'm going to stay in a room with four walls and a roof. There's going to be air conditioning. There's going to be a bathroom in that room. I'm going to sleep on a bed. And there's so many pillows on this bed that I don't even know what to do with them. And so, in fact, I'm actually going to take all of them off except for the one that I need. And because I'm in an unfamiliar place, I'm going to put them on the floor in case I happen to fall at night while I get up in the middle of the night. And some of us choose that that's where we're going to stay. But you need to choose. Where are you going to stay? Here's the last question that we ask is, what are you doing? Are you going to an amusement park or an attraction of some sort? Or are you that outdoors person that you're saying, hey, we're going to hike, we're going to be on the beach, we're going to go skiing, we're going to do that sort of thing? Or maybe it's something completely different and the point of your trip, what you are doing on your trip, revolves completely around family and that we just need to spend time together and so we need to visit some distant family. But we all ask those four questions, whether we know that we're asking them or we don't. So it brings us to this. How do we prepare? when we get away. So we know that we ask four questions, but we also have different styles in how we prepare our time away. My wife and I are a great example of this. See, I hate to prepare for trips, because to me, that's just more work. And if a trip is about rest and relaxation and renewal, then I don't want to plan one, because that's just more work. Lindsay loves to prepare trips. You know, she has in her notes app on her phone, Monday we're going to do this, Tuesday we're going to do this, Wednesday we're going to do this, Thursday, Friday. And if it happens to rain on Tuesday, then we're going to flip-flop Tuesday and Friday, and we know that we're going to be all set. We all prepare differently. So we just need to understand that about ourselves. But when we're getting away, what I want to challenge you to is that as you prepare, as you ask those questions, would you think through one more thing that you can prepare? Here's what it is. Your mentality. Can you begin to prepare your mentality for the trips that you take? For the time where you need to get away? Would you prepare your mentality? Here's how we're going to define mentality today. It's the characteristic attitude of mind, or it's a way of thinking. So your mentality is your posture. It's your way of thinking. It's how you act in certain situations. It's how you respond and react in certain situations. And you have all been on that trip where something has either gone according to plan or it doesn't. And your mentality ends up helping you figure out how you're going to respond to that situation. And so I think it's important that before we get to that point of no return, that we've already prepared what our mentality is going to be. And so, again, we are going through this series, Getting Away. Because what we want you to see is that, yes, it is important for us to get away. It's important to have those strategic times in life for rest, relaxation, and renewal. But it's also important in our spiritual lives to get away so that we can get closer to God. It's important to have those times where we are getting away from the chaos, where we are getting away from the distraction, where we get away from unhealthy relationships and unhealthy environments. Why? Also that we can be getting closer to God. And so what I want you to see is that Jesus had a practice of getting away. It's something that he did regularly. It's something that he did often. He did it so that he could get closer to God. And so that's where we're going to start in Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 1. This story that we're going to be reading is paralleled in Luke chapter 4. What's happened is Jesus is in Capernaum. And while he's in Capernaum, he's been healing all sorts of people. He's been doing all these miracles. And what's happened is the people in Capernaum are seeing him as just that, as a miracle worker, as this miracle healer. And they just want to keep him there as long as they can, because why would you want to get rid of that ever? Why would you want to lose this miracle healer if you can just have him there? And so he's been healing and healing, and they're trying to find him. They're like, hey, we have to make sure that we know where Jesus is at all times. But Jesus needs to get away. So that's where we pick up. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. And later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you, Jesus. Now, see that? He went to an isolated place. Now, we've all done this. Moms, dads, there are times where maybe you aren't hiding from your kids, but you're putting yourself in a place where they just might not happen to find you. So that way you can have that time to just kind of catch your breath and recapture your thoughts a little bit. Students and kids, there are those times where maybe you're not hiding from your brothers or sisters, or maybe you are, and you try and put yourself in a place where they would absolutely never stumble upon you. Maybe you even lock the door to your room so that way that they can't get in. This is normal. I do that right here at the church. You know, I'm lucky and fortunate enough to have an office here that I can work out of, but sometimes that office comes with distraction. And so there are days where if I am on the verge of a deadline or trying to get something done in time for something, that I will take my MacBook, I'll take a few books with me, and I will go and I will hide in one of these classrooms in the corner of it, so that way no one can find me and no one knows where I am, so that way I can just focus on what I need to do and I can get it done. We all take these times where we get away, where we go to the isolated place. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. But look, at Jesus went to the isolated place to pray. He got away so that he could get closer. He got away so that he could be in communion with the Father. He got away so that he could have a conversation with his Father. It says that Simon and his friends came up and they stumbled on him and they said, "Jesus, you know, there you are." And Jesus says, here I am out in the wilderness, out in the isolated place. You just happened to find me. No, they tracked him down and they found him. But here's how he replies. He says, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Now this word "must," this like jumped out at me so much when I read this. It jumped out at you because I put it in yellow, but it jumped out at me when I was reading that, because when I saw that Jesus said, "We must keep going. I can't be stuck here in Capernaum." What we see here is that Jesus has a mentality that he is set on doing what he's planned to do. He knows what his goal is. He knows what the expectation is. He says right here, he knows the reason why he came. And so his mentality is pushing forward towards that. He knows exactly what he wants to accomplish. And that's what he did. It says that he didn't stay in Capernaum, but he traveled throughout the region of Galilee and he continued preaching. So here's what I want us to see today. That your mentality determines your experience. The mentality that you carry, the mindset that you carry, the posture that you carry into a given situation determines your experience. And here's how I want to explain this a little further. That if you have a negative mentality, it eliminates the opportunity before the event can even occur. So if you walk into a situation and you say, "Hey, my teammates are going to let me down. My teammates or my coworkers could never live up to my expectations. The people that I'm around, they never do what they're supposed to do." If you walk into your vacation, you say, "It's going to be a terrible vacation. It's not going to be the way that I had hoped." If you walk into work and you say, "This is going to be awful. It's going to be a terrible day." If you go into your in-laws' home and you say, "It's going to be just like it was every other time." Then you've eliminated any opportunity for grace. See, grace is about flexibility and adjustment. Grace is about growth. If you think your teammates are going to let you down and they do, then you're not leaving them any room to grow. You're not leaving them any room to improve. See, when we have a negative mentality, we eliminate that opportunity for that to happen in people. This is true in our spiritual lives as well. If we think that we spend our time with God and I'm not going to get anything through it because I just rushed through it so much, you're eliminating the opportunity for growth and grace in your own life as well. But a positive mentality leaves room for grace, and it allows you to adjust to even the most negative situations. If you can carry that positive mentality into whatever you walk into, and if it's your vacation, if it's your time getting away, you bring that positive mentality and your plans get disrupted, your flight gets canceled, things don't work out the way that you had hoped they would, then that's okay. Because you've left room for adjustment. You've left room for flexibility. You've left room for growth. When that coworker, that teammate, that whoever that person is that you are working alongside, when they're just not good enough, when they just don't live up to your standards, that's okay, because we're going to help them grow. We're going to help them figure it out. You know, this makes me think of, I heard someone once say, for every minute that you spend complaining, you should take 3 minutes to think of a solution. For every minute, that's a positive mentality. A negative mentality is when all we can think of is the worst case scenario. That if something happens, that the world is going to fall apart, that nothing's going to be the same, that it will never work out. A positive mentality says, hey, I might be aware that this is a less than ideal situation, but we're going to be able to adjust. And we're going to take the time to figure it out and to grow from it. So I want to take us to Joshua chapter 1. Because I think in Joshua chapter 1, we see this idea play out. We see this idea that your mentality determines your experience. I think we see that unfold right here. Now, what's happened in Joshua chapter 1 is that Joshua has assumed leadership of Israel. Moses has passed away, and Joshua is now the guy in charge. Joshua, think about this. There are about 2 million Israelites at this point. Joshua is responsible for them. Think of what he must be feeling. Think of the nerves that must be going on in him. That you are not only responsible for leading these people, but you're responsible for their future as well. Think of how you would feel with 2,000 people, never mind 2 million people. You'd be anxious, you'd be stressed out, you'd be overwhelmed, you'd be fearful maybe. And honestly, you should be. If you have that type of responsibility on behalf of other people, you should feel those ways. Otherwise, pride might have sank into you as a leader a little bit. So Joshua is leading these people. But remember that Joshua has seen where he's going. He knows what the goal is. Just like Jesus knew what his goal was. He knew what the expectation was. Joshua knows as well. And here's where we pick up. This is a conversation. This is God speaking to Joshua. He says, "Be strong and courageous," in verse 6. "For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them." God is trying to instill a mentality into Joshua. That you need, Joshua, as you lead these people, you need to be strong and courageous. It continues. God says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." Again, he says it again. He reiterates it. Joshua, be strong and courageous. I want you to lead like this. I want you to carry this mentality in what you're doing. Look at how he's giving him direction, right? We talk about going on a trip. You need directions when you go on a trip. He says, don't deviate. He says, Joshua, there's 2 million people with you. There's going to be people saying things in one ear and people saying things in another. There are going to be people that are worried and they're going to say, Joshua, you can't take us this way. Joshua, you can't do this. Joshua, this, you know that this is the only right way. He says, Joshua, you know what to do. And do not deviate it. Do not deviate from it. Do not go in another direction. Do what you know I am asking you to do. And this is where I think it gets really exciting. God says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, the book of instruction that God is referring to is most likely the book of Deuteronomy. It might be a portion of the book of Deuteronomy, but God says that, Joshua, you need to study that book and you need to meditate on it day and night. It needs to be circling around in your mind throughout the day. As long as you are awake, Joshua, this should be ping-ponging off the walls of your head. It needs to be rattling around in there. It needs to be all you're thinking about throughout the day. Says you need to not only know what this says, but you need to be contemplating what it says. You need to be thinking about what it says. You need to be trying to understand more and more of what it says. You know, as I prepared for today and thought through this idea of mentality, I really didn't want to say that line that we keep hearing over the past few months about, like, we're in this really hard time and we're, you know, as we're figuring this out and as we go through this together and it's so hard. But as I was thinking about it, honestly, that's where I came, because I started to think about my own mentality. I started to think that I don't think it's been very good. And then I thought about it more and I said, I don't think it's just me, though. I think a lot of our mentalities have been struggling really hard lately. Like, really, really hard. And then when I was reading this verse, and I was thinking of what God said to Joshua, to meditate on this day and night, I start to wonder if our mentalities have been so poor lately is because instead of letting the scriptures shape our mentality, we're letting our own thoughts shape our mentality. We're letting our own desires shape our mentality. We're letting our own ideologies shape our mentality. God says, Joshua, you have to meditate on this day and night. This should be what is shaping and forming and challenging your mentality. You should be thinking through this all day. And here's where I need to challenge us so hard, myself included. No one is exempt from this. We need to let God's word shape and form our mentality. But here's the challenge. Please, please hear me on this. Do not let your thoughts and your desires and your ideologies shape the scriptures. Let the scriptures shape your mentality. And I'm saying that because I know how easy it is for that to happen. I understand how much those desires in our hearts make us want to be able to say, yes, this is exactly what God is saying. This is exactly what Paul is saying. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. But we have to be so careful. We need to do it by meditating on it, not just knowing it. But we have to be thinking day and night. As long as we are awake, we need to be letting those rattle through our brain. And what's amazing, when you look at this even more, God says, Joshua, he says, you need to think day and night. You need to be running through this every single part of the day. And he says, only then, only when you get to the point where you can't think of anything else, only when you get to the point where all you want to think about is the scripture, and the only thing that replays in your mind is the book of instruction that I've given you, only at the point where you can't think of anything else but my commands. He says, it's only then, Joshua, will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, I thought that was awesome, but it just gets better from here. Look at this, verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Some of you are saying, Justin, why is this more exciting? We've already heard God say, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. No, we didn't. We heard God say once, be strong and courageous. I don't know why that jumped ahead on me. We heard God say, be strong and very courageous. And now we see God say, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. See, the word command there is so key, because the word command there lets us know that the mentality that God is asking Joshua to carry is not his personality, but it's a decision. It's a choice that he gets to make, that he is going to live and lead that way with that type of mentality. See, I love this because I think we've all had those moments where we bump into someone that's being rude or just nasty. And what do? We make excuses for that person. Maybe we even know that person. Maybe we're close to that person. We make excuses and we say, oh, well, they're just a little rough around the edges. That's just their personality. No, your mentality is your decision. So when you're being rude to someone, just change your decision about how you're going to interact with someone. Change your decision about how you're going to approach someone. God's saying, Joshua, I want you to carry this mentality of being strong and courageous. He says, this is a decision that I'm asking you to do. I'm commanding you, but you have the decision whether to obey that command or to deny that command. See, our mentality is something that we get to decide. How we're going to enter into a situation. How we're going to enter into our vacation. How we're going to enter into our work every day. How we're going to enter into our families as we come home at the end of the day. How we're going to enter into that time at the in-laws. How we're going to enter into those tough situations. How we're going to enter into that mess that we just have to walk into. Our mentality is something that we decide in those moments. So God gives this command. But then he doesn't just leave it there. He says, Joshua, he says, you know that fear, that uneasiness that you must have been carrying? He says, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I will be there right alongside you. See, and knowing that, isn't that something that should help shape the way that we carry ourselves? Isn't that something that should help shape our mindset, our posture, our character, knowing that God is right there alongside us. And coming again to this idea that your mentality determines your experience. We see that play out because what's happened now is God has issued this. He said, Joshua, this is the mentality I want you to carry. But I want you to see really quickly how that plays out. Joshua chooses to live out that mindset, that mentality, to lead with it. And so here's what he says to the Israelites. He says, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. I don't know about you, but that sounds like Joshua took that mentality. It sounds like a strong leader. It sounds like a leader who's full of courage. That, hey, we're at this point where I might be really uneasy, I might be unsure, but in 3 days, we are going to cross a river together and we are going to take this land. That's a leader who's strong and courageous. And look at how they answer. This is the Israelites answering Joshua. They says, we will do whatever you command us. We will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Joshua led with a strong and courageous mentality. And it determined how the people he led received him. They were loyal to him. They were ready for whatever he asked of them. So, I wonder about you. What kind of mentality do you live with? What kind of mentality do you lead with? What kind of mentality do you bring to work? What kind of mentality do you bring to your time off and your vacation and those moments of getting away? And how are you preparing for it? Let me take us to a couple of next steps. The first that I'd like you to take, I would encourage you to take, is that I'd like to start a better practice of getting away. Pray for me as I work to build into this habit. Jesus had this practice of getting away. He had a practice of getting away so that he could get closer to God. And I would encourage you, if you don't have that practice in your life, or maybe it's something that you struggle at, would you work at that? Would you make the commitment to try and find that time, to build into that, to make that better, so that way you can get closer to God? Our other next step for today is that I need to approach life with a better mentality. And this week, I'm going to read Psalms 23 to 27 to help start each day with a God-focused mentality. It's 5 Psalms, so you have a grace day there. You can miss one, and you'll still be okay. You'll still be on track. But what I'm asking you to do, would you do like God asked Joshua? And would you meditate on those Psalms? Would you think through them? Would you just take one on Monday, tomorrow morning, I'm going to read Psalm 23. And I'm going to take that Psalm and I'm going to take an idea from it. I'm going to take a statement from it. I'm going to take a verse from it. I'm going to take a theme from it. I'm going to take the whole thing, whatever it is. And I am going to let that circle around in my mind. Throughout the day, day and night, as long as I am awake, I will be meditating on that psalm. Would you make that kind of commitment? Would you begin to understand that that is how we are going to be able to carry out that type of mentality, that God-focused and God-centered mentality? And I would encourage you, I'd challenge you. Would you do that this week? Would you read those 5 psalms and let them shape and form and challenge your mentality? In just a moment, the band is going to lead us through this song that reminds us that we don't need to fear, we don't need to be discouraged, just as God let Joshua know the same thing. And during that song, what I'm going to ask you to do, the band is going to take a pause. They're just going to play instrumentally. Just a moment. I'm going to ask you to take a pause in that time and to get away. To isolate yourself. I know we can't do it physically because we're right in this room or you're at home and you're in a room with other people. But would you just mentally isolate yourself? Would you get away so that you can take this time to get closer to God, to start that practice? And so that way this week we can begin right now together preparing ourselves for how we can get away this summer to get closer to God. Would you take that time? Would you take that moment to allow God to challenge your mentality, to shape it, so that way we can go out together as a church this week and be